The big news in the United States today is the failed attempt to bomb Times Square, one of the busiest places in the United States, in New York City. The main suspect has since been arrested and is now under custody. And video footages revealed how close the explosion was. The suspect managed to park his car bomb in Times Square. And imagine, as experts discovered what was stuck inside the car, they said it could have caused a fireball. So imagine how destructive it could have been, but at the last minute, for whatever reason, the bomb failed to detonate. Well, it shows how active still are the terrorist agents in trying to sow terror in the world. But I'm using this introduction because you remember that last Sunday, I used as an illustration of revival that of an explosive bomb. I said that while Reformation is like a difficult combat operation, revival is like an explosive bomb. I mean, of course, not the destructive sense, but in the sense of its impact, in the sense of its ability to disperse, nothing like quite like it. That's revival. A revival has that potential of building up a community in ways that are unmatched. And that's the analogy to a bomb in its power of impact, its speed of dispersal, where it explodes. Well, that's what revival does. And we need revival. Where we are responsible to pursue reformation, however, revival is something we wait upon God. Kung ang reformasyon ay ating pinagsisikapan, nagpapakasigasig tayo upang makapagsulong tayo ng reformasyon sa mga iglesia. Ang revival, yung pagkagising, ay isang bagay na Diyos lang ang makapagbibigay, ating pinapanalangin, ating hinihintay, ngunit hindi natin ito maaring gawin. Hindi natin ito maaring tayong magkusa na ito ay mangyari saan mang panahon, saan mang lugar. And we are using a period in Old Testament history as a pattern of revival. We are using the reign of Hezekiah. Perhaps only next to David, Hezekiah was the most exalted king in the history of Israel and Judah. Under his reign, an awakening of religious worship and holiness occurred that was unmatched in Judah's history. And it is a pattern for us today. And so using the awakening under Hezekiah's reign, we are considering revival in three phases. Tinitingnan, pinag-aaralan natin ang revival, ang pagkagising sa tatlong bahagdan ito. Una, tinignan natin ang nakaraan before revival. What was it like? And then today, we shall look at during revival, what happens. And then after, in the will of the Lord, next Lord's Day, after revival, what takes place. And in each phase, we are using a statement of summary in the scripture itself during the period of Hezekiah. And I believe this is applicable today because revival can still be analyzed under those three phases: before, during, and after. In the first phase, before revival, we can say that we are closest to this condition. We are living in a time that we cannot describe as revival. We may be pursuing reformation and we may be seeing some measure of blessing under God in our reformation efforts, yet we're not in times of revival. So what was it like in the time before the awakening that happened in Hezekiah's reign? Well, we use the summary that described the terrible condition of the spiritual state of Judah when Hezekiah became king. One thing that we must remember about Hezekiah was that he was the son of one of the most wicked kings of Judah. Itong si Hezekiah, bagamat iginagalang, itinataas sa kakasaysayan ng Israel, huwag nating kalimutan na yung kanyang ama, si Ahaz, ay isa sa pinakamasama na naging hari sa bansa ng Judah. He initiated and circulated idolatrous worship. He built idolatrous shrines. Kung may mababasa kayo sa Lumang Tipan, yung tinatawag na high places, yun yung kagagawan nitong si Ahaz. He worshiped the gods of Damascus. And it was under these circumstances when state was terrible, when people, while still maintaining temple worship, yet they also worship idols on the side, it was that condition that Hezekiah became king in. Yun ang kalagayan ng si Hezekiah ay maging hari. You can say it was an almost hopeless situation, and yet, it was in such a hopeless situation that an awakening occurred under the reign of Hezekiah, from which we learned the lesson last Sunday that even the worst of spiritual conditions can be visited by a revival from the Lord. Kahit na ang pinakamasahol na kalagayang espiritual ay maaring dalawi ng pagkagising mula sa Diyos. Isang encouragement yan sa atin. Kuminsan tinitingnan natin yung kalagayan ng ating mga iglesia at nasasabi natin ang kalagayan ng evangelical churches ngayon ay nakaka-discourage and we may give up on it. Don't. Even at the worst of spiritual conditions, revival can yet visit such a place. Now, what happened during the revival and awakening in Hezekiah's reign? Well, I hope you read the longer passage suggested in the announcement in our handout. I will just read the shorter one. Turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Our concentration is on verse 36, but let's begin reading verse 31. 2 Chronicles 29, 31 to 36. 2 Chronicles 29, beginning verse 31. Then Hezekiah answered and said, "Now that you have consecrated yourselves to the Lord, come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord." So the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a willing heart brought burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bulls, 100 rams, and 200 lambs. All these were for a burnt offering to the Lord. The consecrated things were 600 bulls and 3,000 sheep. But the priests were too few, so that they could not skin all the burnt offerings. Therefore, their brethren, the Levites, helped them until the work was ended, and until the other priests had sanctified themselves, for the Levites were more diligent in sanctifying themselves than the priests. Also, the burnt offerings were in abundance, with the fat of the peace offerings and with the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. Verse 36. Then Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced that God had prepared the people, since the events took place so suddenly. Now, what makes this period, which we call revival or awakening, something which is set apart from the rest? After all, you still have the same Levitical system in place, the same sacrifices in the temple. But what impresses you when you read this is the sheer impact, the sheer massive number that were involved in the worship of God. And at the end of the chapter, the chronicler uses a word that is very instructive for our understanding of revival. It all happened, it says, suddenly. Yan yung magandang salitang tingnan natin. The word is suddenly. Now, the Hebrew of this word occurs in the Old Testament Hebrew 25 times. And in all of those, except our text, they are in the context of judgment and disaster. Now, you follow me? In all the other places where this word suddenly occurs in Hebrew, it's always judgment, it's always disaster. Now this text suddenly is an exception. It is as if the chronicler is saying what happens during judgment in such a massive way happens in revival also in such a massive way. Kung ano yung nangyayari kapag humahatol ang Diyos sa isang bayan, at yun ang malimit na salitang ginagamit, ngayon, yun naman ang pwede rin mangyari kung ginusto ng Diyos na pagpalain ang isang komunidad, ang isang bayan. And what we see here is the idea that where judgment and disaster happens quickly, massively, that too can happen when God blesses with revival. And that's why the illustration of a bomb helps. The picture of dispersal, the picture of impact. In revival, it is in terms of the fruit of God's work that proves massive and irresistible. And I want to use those words. My message is simply this. In revival, people respond massively to the irresistible claims of God. In revival, people respond massively to the irresistible claims of God. Now, in defining revival in terms of massive impact, I am careful to distinguish it from the ordinary while at the same time not making it too far different from what is ordinary. Mag-ingat tayo rito sapagkat yung revival, masasabi nating naiiba sa ordinaryo, pero wag nating masyadong ibahin na baka isipin natin talagang dapat wag maghanap tayo ng ibang mga paraan para tayo magka-revival. Yung mga bagay na nangyayari sa ordinaryong panahon, yun at yun din ang ginagawa sa panahon ni Hezekiah. The same sacrifices, the same Levitical system were in place. Except that when Hezekiah initiated those sacrifices in his time, suddenly, the impact was massive. The power of God's word suddenly proved irresistible. And the response was something that Hezekiah himself did not anticipate. Ganun ang nangyayari sa revival. Yung bagay na ginagawa nating ordinaryo, kung anong ginagawa natin sa ating mga pagtitipon, yun din ang ginagawa sa isang revival. Pero kapag dumating, dumalaw ang kapangyarihan ng Diyos sa revival, ang biglang mangyayari ay the unanticipated happens. Hezekiah himself did not anticipate this, but when revival visited the people of Judah, suddenly, priests were inadequate. Yung mga sakripisyo, kakadami-dami. Biglang nagkulang yung mga saserdoteng magbabalat daw ng mga hayop na kanilang ihahandog sa Panginoon. Ang punto rito ay what we usually do ordinarily, revival comes, suddenly it's massive, the power is irresistible. You see, it is both an encouragement as well as a warning. Encouragement in the sense that what we do, we keep doing. Even though revival is not coming, let us just keep doing the ordinary things. The warning is, we may begin to imagine nothing's happening, everything is barren, so let's try to look for some other things. And that's what many are doing today. No, let's not do that. So, in revival, there's that massive response. The power of God proves irresistible. But what were the components of this massive response to the irresistible word of God that we want to see in revival? Three components. First of all, the sufficiency of revelation. Yung kasapatan ng pahayag ng Diyos. The sufficiency of revelation. Secondly, the immediacy of application. Yung kaagaran ng pagsasabuhay, immediacy of application, and thirdly, consistency of consecration. Yung kaangkupan ng paghahandog ng sarili sa Diyos. So these are the three things which we try to do ordinarily, but then when revival happens, it happens massively, suddenly, quickly. The first is the sufficiency of revelation. As Hezekiah set out the task of reformation of Judah, which suffered morally under his father Ahaz, he himself did not anticipate the kind of massive impact it would create on his nation. Now, this is something that happens in revival. This is something always true of revival. It happens without schedule. You don't anticipate it. You don't schedule it. And this is always an irony when people think they can schedule revival. I'm reading this book which made an observation of two churches that were close together. One church has on its schedule the announcement, revival here every Wednesday. The other church has the announcement, revival here every day except Wednesday. eh, siguro lilipat dun sa kabila yung reviving spirit pag Wednesday na. But you see, the irony there is these people think they can schedule revival. You cannot. You cannot schedule it. You cannot anticipate it. You cannot work for it. You cannot arrange it. It is something that just happens when it happens. And this is what happens to Hezekiah. It was not that Hezekiah discovered a secret method of the key to revival. Rather, it is the same old word of God that he used. But that suddenly God blessed powerfully. Listen to this. In 29:15, and they gathered their brethren, sanctified themselves, and went according to the commandment of the king, as the words of the Lord, to cleanse the house of the Lord. Then listen to 30 verse 12. Also the hand of God was on Judah to give them singleness of heart to obey the command of the king and the leaders at the word of the Lord. And I can multiply more passages that show whatever they did according to the word of the Lord. So what we learn here is that the major instrument of revival is the same word of God which we ordinarily preach, we ordinarily use, except that in revival, it is empowered uniquely and massively by the Spirit of God. Yun ding salita ng Diyos na ginagamit natin sa ordinaryong panahon, pinapangaral natin sa mga ordinaryong panahon, ngunit pag dumating ang revival, ito ay biglang pagpapalain sa makapangyarihang antas ng Espiritu ng Diyos at hindi natin aakalain ang magiging resulta, ang magiging bunga. We all have the same instrument that under God, empowered by the Spirit, can produce revival. You know, sometimes when we feel the fruit of our ministries is barren, we tend to ask, what other instruments or methods can we use so that there may be more fruit? And this is where the danger of compromise is at its closest. Pag tayo nag-isip na, parang walang bunga, parang walang nangyayari, eh, kailangan yata mag-isip tayo ng ibang mga paraan. At dyan na papasok yung tukso na, ba't hindi ito ang gamitin mo? Gamitin natin yung ginagamit ng mundo. Kung ang mundo nakapagpaparami sa pamagitan ng entertainment, eh ba't hindi tayo gumamit ng entertainment? Kung makikita nating mas maraming tagasunod kapag may konsyerto o music ang nangingibabaw, eh ba't hindi yan ang ating gawin? So the danger and the temptation is to think that let us succeed the way we see it done in the world. And many churches are actually doing that now. Oh, brethren, let us not listen to suggestions that we try the methods of the world. Let us not succeed in their way. It's happening to many evangelical churches today. They have set aside the word of God in favor of music, in favor of drama, in favor of other activities other than the word of God. That's not what Hezekiah did. He did not try something other than the word that was available to him then. So must we. Now, in the time of Hezekiah, the word was still a growing word. In our time, that word is final. Until Christ comes again, we have a complete word. Eh, kaya nga mas mapalad tayo. Dahil kompleto na para sa atin ang salita ng Diyos na kay Hezekiah ay lumalago pa. Eh, may kukumpara siguro natin to sa periodic table sa chemistry. You know, just recently, the periodic table has just accepted element number 112. It's still growing. Element number 112 will soon be called Copernicium. But for as long as it is there, it's the standard. It may still grow. What are the basic elements? Eh, nung panahon ko, wala pang 100. Eh, ngayon, 112 na. But as long as the periodic table is there, it tells you what are the recognized elements in chemistry today. Well, in Scripture, we have the periodic table except that it will no longer grow until Christ comes again. It's complete. And we dare not add to it. That is our major instrument. And every revival story is a story of the Word of God. It is a story of the Word suddenly blessed. It is the story of the world suddenly awakened. Sometimes the preacher just comes to preach as he does ordinarily the past Sundays, and then he preaches the same word and God blesses it without his anticipation, and the result is massive. It happened to Jonathan Edwards when he preached one Sunday and the title of the sermon was Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Nothing extraordinary as far as his feeling was concerned. He simply was preaching with candle in hand and read the manuscript. Those of us who teach preaching will tell you not to do that. But Jonathan Edwards was reading his manuscripts, and as he read, suddenly the Spirit descended upon the congregation and Christ could be heard. And people were holding fast to their pews because they felt they would descend into hell. The same preacher, the same preaching, suddenly blessed revival. And so the point is, let us have confidence in the Word of God. While we are in ordinary times, no revival, yet let us have confidence in the Word of God while earnestly seeking that one day, as it is being proclaimed, the Spirit will empower it. It is the same word during Reformation. But what makes it a revival is that that same message is blessed by the Word, and therefore we depend upon the Holy Spirit. We wait upon Him. We never know when He will come powerfully and massively, but we depend upon Him. And one of the most repulsive titles today that some evangelical leaders love to carry is to be called revivalist. That's a kind of title that should make us vomit. It's usurpation of what the Spirit alone can give. Hindi pwedeng tayo yung revivalist. Tawagin mo na rin sarili mong regenerationist. We cannot give it. We cannot produce it. Only the Spirit can. But when He does, you and I will be surprised what the Spirit can do with what we thought is just the ordinary Word of God. So let us be confident in the Word of God that it is, as Paul said, mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. One revival I was reading was the revival in Wales that occurred in 1904. And one of the observers, one of the contemporary observers of that revival was a man named Rhys Jones. And one of his observations was this: the awakened ones could not tolerate anything but the Word. As he observed their demeanor in the gathered church, this is what he observed: they cannot tolerate anything but the Word. Let us have that. Sufficiency of revelation. Secondly, the immediacy of application, yung kaagaran ng pagsasabuhay. When did Hezekiah begin the process of change? Remember, he was just inheriting a very bad administration from his father Ahaz. Minana niya yung administrasyon, yung kaharian ng kanyang ama. Eh siguro, isipin natin, mag-a-adjust muna siguro tong taong to. Instead, what do we read? 29 verse 3, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. So kailan siya nagsimula? First month, first year. Ibig sabihin, upon accession to the throne, he immediately began. Whatever needed change, whatever needed application, he began. So this was a man who did not believe in honeymoon period. Itong mga presidente, sino mang manalong presidente at manungkulan, tradisyon, bibigyan siya daw ng 100 araw na honeymoon period. To be fair, Arab was never given one. But the point is, ito yung akala ng marami. Pero kay Hezekiah, pagkaupong pagkaupo niya bilang hari, agad-agaran, the immediacy of application. And this is one unique element of revival: immediate response to the claims of the Word of God. So upon accession to the throne, Hezekiah did immediately set out to work. And what takes many years in the work of reformation, when revival comes, very quick indeed. Sa reformasyon natin, taon ang binibilang para makakita tayo ng a measure of change or success. In revival, it could be one day, a matter of a few days. The immediacy of it. And we who find ourselves in times without revival must not stop reforming even if it takes so long. But when the Spirit comes to revive, it will surprise you and me, just as Hezekiah was surprised by the suddenness. You know, today is the 50th birthday. No, not of Myla. Malayo pa yun, yung 50th birthday. But today is the 50th birthday of what is simply called around the world as the pill. It was approved by the Food and Drugs Administration of the United States on May 9, 1960. And what makes this an effective, liberating instrument for women was the effect was immediate. Of course, there have been problems and there are ethical issues, but the point is, the effect was immediate. The immediacy of effect liberated many women from unwanted pregnancy. The Economist magazine called it the most significant medical advance of the 20th century. Its immediate reproductive effect had that liberating effect on women. But my point of the analogy is its immediacy. And this is where the problem of us, many of us, is. Our major obstacle to spiritual abundance is the tendency to delay and procrastinate. This can be a major obstacle to you who are considering conversion. Perhaps you have no problem with the gospel. You have no problem with the message of salvation. You accept thoroughly that Christ alone can save you. Maring pinalaki ka sa mensahe na si Kristo ang tagapagligtas, wala kang anumang problema sa mensaheng yan, ngunit ang palagi mong sinasabi sa iyong sarili ay may panahon pa. Saka na. And procrastination has become for you the polite way of saying no. But the same effects on you, you're still unsaved, you're still outside the kingdom of God, when again and again you are challenged to come to Christ. And here again is the challenge. And probably, and sadly, you may again delay. Well, you're not saying no, you're not saying I don't believe it. You're just procrastinating. And I'm appealing to you, this is a matter of the highest importance. Do not delay. Do not procrastinate. But not only in conversion, it explains the spiritual poverty and mediocrity of many Christians. What more, I sometimes imagine, what more could you be? What more could we be? And what more could we achieve? If only we would seriously resolve now, not later, what needs to be done. The immediacy of application. Brainerd was one of the men used in a revival in the most unlikely of places among the Indians. And as he put in his diary the effect of the word, he called it an irresistible force of a mighty torrent. Scarce one was able to withstand the shock. You know, effect ng revival sa mga Indians. Hindi nila mahindian ang dating ng salita ng Diyos. At yun ang kailangan natin, the immediacy of application, and finally, the consistency of consecration. The consistency of consecration. We read this in our text. 29:31 and 34. Hezekiah answered, "Now that you have consecrated yourselves to the Lord, come near." So in other words, itong mga saserdote, ang hiningi sa kanila ni Hezekiah ay consecration. But then later on, nagkulang pa rin ang mga saserdote, so gumamit muna ng mga Levites. The Levites according to the chronicler, were more diligent in sanctifying themselves than the priests. But what it tells us is that the complete coverage of revival begins with the worship of God, and then it sweeps all of life. Saan nagsimula si Hezekiah? Nagsimula siya sa templo. Nagsimula siya sa panambahan. Nagsimula siya sa mga saserdote at mga levita. Sila yung nag-aasikaso ng templo. Ang unang-unang aayusin ay yung kanilang paghahandog ng kanilang sarili sa Diyos. Gayun pa rin ngayon. This is the meaning of the word consecrate, offered to God. And that is always the right beginning. Just as the first thing that Hezekiah repaired is the temple, so the first thing that you and I need to repair is our relationship with God. Our worship of God. And here the Levites were commended because they were more diligent, and probably the better translation is more consistent in consecrating themselves. This is a true self-offering to God. You begin with God. You offer yourself to God. And when it is really to God you offer yourself, then you will find that God claims every spot in your life, not just in the temple. When you offer yourself to God, no place will be left just for self. One of the best descriptions of revival I have encountered is the one made by Duncan Campbell in describing a revival that occurred in Scotland in 1949. He described it as a people saturated with God. And that is our appeal for revival. Be saturated with God in all that you do in your life. It's like your blood saturated with your blood chemicals. Kahit saan kakuna ng dugo, it will give the same reading because all your blood chemicals saturate your whole body. Now, that's the description used by Duncan Campbell in Scotland Revival in 1949. A people saturated with God. Oh, be saturated with God in all that you do in your life, whether in church or outside of it. That is what we need as a church. If we are saturated with God, we will not have God only in one spot of our lives. It would not be difficult to appeal to all the concerns of the church, all the kingdom concerns of God. And the question is the same question put to the priests by Hezekiah: are you consecrated yet? And when there was a dearth of consecrated personnel, they waited. The Levites offered themselves. Duncan Campbell, as he was meditating during this time of revival on Revelation 4 about the throne room of God, he then let out a prayer, crying out, "Oh God, there is power there. Let it loose." And let that be our prayer even as we seek revival, which we can never produce, we can never schedule, we can never originate or initiate. We can only wait upon God. We do the ordinary things, hoping that maybe today God will suddenly descend upon the word. But if not, then next Lord's Day, we will not seek to invent other things that the word of God has not prescribed. The same things we do ordinarily. And sometimes we feel barren. Just go on. Just keep praying, believing that it is of the Holy Spirit. We are doing the very same thing, which in revival will be massive, but by what means is when the Spirit descends upon the ordinary things. And just as it was said of Hezekiah's awakening, the thing was of the Lord also suddenly. We then pray that the Spirit will breathe His breath of life into all that we do ordinarily. And that is our last hymn. O breath of God, breathe on us now, and move within us while we pray. The spring of our new life art thou, the very light of our new day. May we really be faithful when things are small, when things seem barren, believing only that we are doing what the Word of God requires, but believing also that there is that potential always. Maybe today, maybe next Lord's Day, maybe some other day, as we do the ordinary things, the Holy Spirit will descend, and then all so suddenly, it becomes so massive and so irresistible. That's when there is revival. Let's close in prayer. Maraming salamat, O Diyos, na mayroong magagamit kaming modelo at huwaran ng panahon ng pagkagising sa kasaysayan ng Biblia doon sa naranasan ni Hezekiah sa kanyang paghahari. At dito sa aming pinag-aralang mga talata, nangyari sa isang paraan kung paanong karaniwang mabilis at malawakang kumakalat sa panahon ng paghahatol at parusa ay nangyari sa panahon ng pagpapala. And this is what we want in revival. This is what we seek to happen. When revival happens, the things that we do ordinarily can suddenly be in the hand of the Spirit, become massive, become irresistible in power. And though we are not yet in that situation, help us, Lord, to be faithful in the ordinary things. Help us to be faithful when things are small. Help us to be zealous even when the field seems barren. But we know that at a certain time that pleases you, you can pick up the same feeble instruments and make mighty instruments out of them, make massive results from them. And because of this, may it be an encouragement to us to keep praying. Help us, Lord, like Hezekiah, to hold fast to the sufficiency of revelation. It is still the same word, and that same word may be preached ordinarily, week in and week out, but when revival comes, that same word can leave the hearers under conviction, and we see massive number of conversions. And grant, O Lord, that we may not lose hope that such a time may come as we seek to be faithful to the word in ordinary times. We also see how Hezekiah immediately applied the word right on the very first month of his first year of accession. He did not wait for what people think are convenient times. And that is the same challenge to us. For one major obstacle to spiritual abundance is our tendency to delay, to procrastinate. We pray for those who here may have heard the word of the gospel time and time again, and probably the response still is some other time. Grant, Lord, that they may realize now is the time of salvation. We pray also for ourselves, for what explains many times our own spiritual poverty and mediocrity is our tendency to delay. May we learn to be those who know the issues in our lives and we say now, not later. And may we also see here the need for consistency of consecration. When revival comes, it begins with worship and then sweeps all of life. And that tells us that even in ordinary times, we must begin with our relationship with God. And grant, O Lord, that we may do exactly that. We may begin with our relationship with you, and then we realize when we consecrate ourselves to you that there is no spot in our lives that you do not claim for your lordship. And we pray, Lord, that we may be as the people described by one observer in time of revival, may we be saturated with God in all that we do in our lives, both in our church and outside of it. And so we do own even the prayer of Duncan Campbell as he meditated on your power. Oh God, there is power there.
let it loose. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.